This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 8th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with these stories. From Sarah Rudolph of John Lothian News, SEC Commissioner Allison Herron Lee addresses payment for order flow, retail trading, crypto at STA conference. In an interview Wednesday at the 88th annual STA conference, SEC Commissioner Allison Herron Lee said she appreciated Gary Gensler, who testified Tuesday at the House Financial Services Committee oversight hearing, for rolling up his sleeves to address the complex issues facing the financial industry, such as payment for order flow and exchange for rebates. Gensler brings a deep understanding of the markets and those issues, Lee said, and any changes the SEC makes will go through a careful, deliberate process. There are disruptive changes going on in the industry, from payment for order flow to regulated cryptocurrencies. A big topic of discussion today is the boom in retail trading. The interviewer, Mina Nguyen of Jane Street Capital, noted that Lee has focused on making sure investors have enough information about payment for order flow and best execution, and asked Lee if she thought we should ban payment for order flow or just provide investors with more information. To read the rest of this story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here is a notice from John Lothian News. Alexandria Perry joins JLN as intern. It is my pleasure to announce that Alexandria Perry has joined John Lothian News as an intern and on-camera talent for the options-centric video series The Spread. Alex comes to JLN from the Medill School of Journalism, where she just graduated with a master's degree in journalism. Initially, she will exclusively contribute to The Spread and options-related news for JLN. Alex is a talented broadcast journalist equipped with the skills to help us further develop this video series and help attract new viewers to JLN. Suzanne Cosgrove, JLN's deputy managing editor and producer of The Spread, will hand over on-camera appearances to Perry beginning next week while continuing to oversee the series. Suzanne has been handling the on-camera element of The Spread despite not wanting to appear on air, but she saw the need and her dedication to getting the job done well won out. Alex will be featured in this week's Term of the Week, which is Intern. Here are the comments and stories from the Hits and Takes section of today's JLN. IDX is over and STA is nearly done, so get ready for Expo in Chicago on November 2nd to 4th. This will be an in-person expo and a chance to reconnect with industry colleagues after we have all been sheltered in place for too long. Registration is open and today is the end of the special rates to register, so act fast and register today. Eurex reported its September volume and open interest numbers and saw some good growth, except in European equity index derivatives, which were down 3%. European equity derivatives overall were up 43% from 20.9 million contracts traded in September 2020 to 29.9 million this year. European interest rate derivatives grew by 20% from 53.6 million to 64.6 million contracts traded. On the clearing side at Eurex, overall notional outstanding was up 16% to 20.698 billion euro from 17.771 billion euro from the same month a year ago. Overall average daily cleared volume was up 35% from 115 billion euro to 155 billion euro for the same period. The overnight index swaps saw the largest gain, with notional outstanding average daily cleared volumes up 65% and 106% respectively. DC FinTech's week's agenda has been released and features a diverse and high-powered lineup of speakers, including SEC Chairman Gary Gensler and former CFTC Chairman Chris Giancarlo. Other speakers include Benoit Cuer, head of Innovation Hub, Bank of International Settlements, Mu Shengshun, Director, Digital Currency Research Institute, People's Bank of China, Kristalina Ivanova Georgieva, Managing Director, International Monetary Fund, Chris Inglis, National Cyber Director of the White House, Dan Schulman, CEO of PayPal, and many others. Learn more and register at dcfintechweek.org. FIA CEO and President Walt Lukin shared on LinkedIn that Kevin O'Donovan, who worked in the Bush White House covering energy and CFTC issues when Walt was at the CFTC, has passed away. Jack Boyle has been promoted to Managing Director at Hightower Advisors. He was previously Executive Director of Operations. Boyle previously worked for Charles Schwab, E-Trade, New Edge, USA, LLC, and Penson Worldwide. The state of Illinois has passed the 25,000 death level from COVID-19, though there were 2,700 more deaths deemed probable COVID-19 cases, the Chicago Tribune reported. September saw more than 1,000 deaths, the most since last winter. I finally had the electric stimulator embedded in my back yesterday during a two-hour procedure. This device includes many precious metals in the leads and battery, so I am hoping not to be abducted and sold for parts. The titanium in my knees, shoulder, hip, and back would also bring a bounty, I figure. So far, so good. Save the post-operative pain. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Catton Muchin Roseman LLP's Financial Markets Litigation and Enforcement Advisory Team Thursday published a study titled CFTC Expanding Anti-Manipulation Powers to Punish Misrepresentations to Futures Exchanges and FCMs, which concludes that two recent actions by the CFTC may have cast too wide of a net, capturing conduct that bears little resemblance to market manipulation or commodities fraud. These actions rely on an expansive understanding of Section 6C1 of the Commodity Exchange Act and CFTC Regulation 180.1, the study says. In one instance, the CFTC filed a civil complaint against Easterday Farms for making false statements in hedging exemption applications to the CME, and in a second case, the CFTC entered into a settlement with Aaron Seidenfeld for making false representations to FCMs about the ownership of certain accounts he controlled. In neither case did the defendant induce an unsuspecting investor or customer into futures trading, nor did the defendants harm the integrity of the underlying futures markets by introducing false information about supply or demand, Catton said. Instead, the only entities misled by the misrepresentations were apparently the CME and FCMs, who are sophisticated entities. You can read the full analysis with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From the Associated Press, don't blame Mrs. O'Leary's cow for the Great Chicago Fire. Chicago seems to like to pin the blame for its misfortune on farm animals. For decades, the Cubs' failure to get to the World Series was the fault of a goat that was once kicked out of Wrigley Field. And for well over a century, a cow belonging to Mrs. O'Leary caused the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. But just as baseball fans know, the Cubs' pre-2016 shortcomings had nothing to do with the curse put on the team by a goat's angry owner, historians say there's no evidence that the massive blaze that destroyed a huge swath of Chicago and displaced about a third of its residents began when Catherine O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern. My comment, this story has been milked for all it's worth over the years, and it is time to try an utter one. Here's a story from the Chicago Tribune. Surpassing 25,000 dead in state from COVID-19, how pandemic evolved from killing Chicagoans to Southern Illinoisans. They include a retired nurse from the Chicago South Side, a former teacher from Mount Vernon, and a lawyer from Carbondale. They joined others from all other races and ethnicities, from deeply Republican to deeply Democratic parts of the state. More old than young, but all adding up day after day to propel Illinois to reach one more grim milestone for the pandemic this month. 25,000 official COVID-19 deaths and counting. My comment, losing 25,000 or almost 28,000 people from COVID is almost the equivalent of everyone dying in Highland Park, Illinois, the town in which I was born. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the $10 trillion man, how Larry Fink became king of Wall Street from the Financial Times. Second was Deputy Attorney General Lisa O'Monico announces National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team from the U.S. Department of Justice. National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team NSET was also our MarketsWiki page of the day yesterday. Third was the next financial crisis is fast approaching from MarketWatch, which was also number three in yesterday's top three. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.